Boy, I tell you, that first song, that's before my time even. That's a goodie. I remember singing that when I was a kid. Genesis 41, if you will. Take your Bibles, turn to Genesis 41. We're kind of back on what we were before. We have spent a good bit of time going through the life of Abraham. Anybody need a worksheet? If you need a worksheet, raise your hand. Keep your hand up till they get there. They missed you. Keep your hand up, they're coming. We started out with Abraham, living the life of faith. A life of faith. And we've seen a lot of things, and I think it was very practical. And I think, I don't know about you, but I've seen myself in a lot of these little mirrors. And tonight's another one of those. And we've been going through the life of Joseph. There's so many things here in Joseph's life. Of course, he's quite a parallel with Jesus himself. And I really haven't spent a lot of time on that because I wanted us to see the life of faith that has been handed down from generation to generation to generation. Abraham believed God. It was counted to him for righteousness. He was called the friend of God. I mentioned that this morning. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing if God called you his friend? What a friend we have in Jesus. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. Friend. Abraham, then we had Isaac, then we had Jacob and Esau, and now we're down to Joseph. Be honest with you, I'm not sure how Joseph came out of that bunch, because Joseph's a pretty sharp fellow. And we've been through all this, and the fact is we live by faith. One of the things that the Lord has put in the Bible is we've learned that he gives us these people, warts and all. Abraham was not perfect. He had his issues. He had his problems. He's a liar. Some things he did he shouldn't have done. He had more than one wife. You know why a man shouldn't have more than one wife? He should have more than one mother-in-law. They shouldn't have more than one wife. But the Hagar thing and all that was in there. And yet God had given him his promise to bless him. And he blessed him. God keeps his promises. Now Joseph was raised up in the family of Jacob. There was 12 of the brothers total. Joseph and his little brother Benjamin being the last two. Well, man, what a mixed up mess that was. Jacob he loved Rachel, but when the honeymoon came around, Daddy gave him Leah instead of Rachel. He wakes up in the morning and hears this gal that he thought Rachel was. She was pretty. He was a good looking lady. And all they could say about Leah was her eyes were pretty. And he said, "What's this? I served you 7 years for Rachel. You give me Leah." So, well, we don't give away the younger daughter until we give away the older daughter. Just the way we do it. Well, now you tell me. Well, that was just a. Something he made up along the way. And so he has Leah, and she had some kids, and then she stopped having kids, and she gave him, Rachel gave him her handmaid, and Leah gave him her handmaid, and what a mess. Mess. Sin always complicates things. Finally, Rachel has some kids, and Joseph was the first. And, of course, she always knew that Daddy loved her more, and Daddy loved him more, and it shouldn't have been, but that's the way it was. And they got mad at him. They sold him into slavery. He gets down there. He's bought by Potiphar, somebody part of the guard of Pharaoh. He's working, doing well, gets falsely accused by Potiphar's wife. They throw him in jail. He's there for several years. Finally, he gets out, and he was told that he could tell the future or tell dreams, and so he ends up in Pharaoh's court to the point where he is second in command of the most powerful nation in the world at the time. Went from being sold out of a pit in slavery to being one of the most powerful men in the world at the time. Now, how do you get there? Now, our goal is not to be necessarily become the most powerful. Our goal, success in life, is having done the will of God. But the fact is sometimes, well, I think God has more for me than where I am, and he may very well may. But how do you get there? Too many people try to help God out. Let me read this portion of Scripture for you. Genesis chapter 41, and verse number 38. 41:38 says, "And Pharaoh said unto his servants," let me make sure you know what this is. Pharaoh's dream, he first had two dreams. One was about cows and one was about corn. In his dream, there was these real fat cows. I mean, they were looking good. Best ones they've ever seen in Egypt. And along comes, in his dream, comes these little skinny, scrawny, awful-looking cows. And as weird as you know how dreams are, the skinny cows eat the fat cows. But they're not any better off than they were before. They're still skinny. Then he wakes up and he falls back asleep. And then he has these seven ears of corn. I mean, they are great looking ears of corn. But then comes up seven bad, awful looking ears of corn. It's been dried by the wind and so forth. And somehow, you know how dreams are, the scrawny ears of corn, the seven scrawny ears of corn, eat the seven fat ears of corn. And so he needs to have a, he said, well, what's this mean? And he doesn't know, and he got all his guys together, and they didn't know what was going on. And so they said, and so the butler says, wait a minute, there was a guy in jail that told me what my dream meant and what the baker's dream meant. And he was right both times. It wasn't so good for the baker, but he was right both times. And he said, well, go get him. They said, okay, go get Joe and bring him back. So they did. And Pharaoh tells him the dreams. And Joseph says, well, I'll tell you what's going to happen. He says, there's going to be a famine in the land. But first, it's going to be 7 years of great harvest. I mean, it's going to be really good. And if we're not careful, we're going to get kind of fat and happy and not be thinking about things. It's 7 years, wonderful, but we better save up. Because right after the 7 years of great harvest, there's going to be seven terrible, awful years. And they're going to basically eat up the seven good years. So we got 14 years going on here. Seven good, seven bad. And if we're wise, we can be ready for the seven bad during the seven good. And so we come here in verse 38, and Pharaoh says unto his servants, can we find such a one as this? Is a man in whom the Spirit of God is. And they said, you know, they said, well, what are we going to do? And Joseph said, I'll tell you what you do. You ought to get a sharp guy to kind of oversee this thing. Discreet and wise, set him over the land. And Pharaoh says, well, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? Verse 39. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God hath showed thee all this, there's none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according to thy word shall all the people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand, and he put it upon Joseph's hand, and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen, and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, bow the knee. And he made him ruler over the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paaneah. Say that twice. And he gave him to his wife as Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. And Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. And Joseph was 30 years old and ruler of the greatest nation in the world when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. We live life by faith. Tonight's lesson message is one of those things that we're not careful. We get out of place. We get off the track. And I think sometimes we're not careful. We don't allow things to be left in the hands of God. Sometimes we get ahead of God. Sometimes we put our fingers in there in ways we shouldn't. Get ourselves in trouble. And I think it'll be a good lesson for us to learn. So tonight we're going to learn how to get to the top without biting and clawing. How to get to the top without biting and clawing. By the way, the top does not necessarily mean you're going to be that's the example here to give us so we can understand it. But let's say how to get where God wants us to be without biting and clawing. Let's pray. Father, God, we thank you for your blessings, and Lord, I want to be a blessing to these folks. Pray that you'll give us your understanding. We need your Holy Spirit to work in our hearts and our lives. And so, Lord, we give it to you. Again, give each of us exactly what we need. Apply it right where it needs to be in each of our lives. The application may really not be the same. The principle is. So, Lord, I pray that you'll use it. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. One of the things that is difficult to live by faith in our particular capitalistic society, is to trust the Lord to promote us and progress us as we want. We seem to think that this is a dog-eat-dog world, and we had better eat the other dog before he eats us if we expect to survive, much less get ahead. But Jesus has a different perspective. He says God will take care of us. I'm not saying you don't work. I'm not saying go get an education. I'm not saying don't prepare yourself for what God wants you to do. But when it comes a time for God to call us up to serve Him or where He wants us to be, I'm saying God will call us where we need to be. Matthew 6:31 says this, "Therefore take no thought saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles, do the rest of the world who doesn't know God. That's what they seek. For your heavenly Father knows that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, His authority in our life, and His righteousness, doing things according to His law, not my law, not your law, His law. And all these things shall be added unto you," the things that we need. The reason we think we need to live this way is because the world lives this way. And we are so immersed in the world that we tend to think like the world. However, we are not of the world. We do not need to live like ravenous dogs. We're children of the King, and the King knows us. He knows where we are. He knows where we live. He knows what we can do and what we're designed to do and what we can't do. And He will empower us to do whatever He calls us to do. We just need to trust the Lord and do right. The Lord is watching us, and the Lord knows if and when we are ready to take another step up the ladder. Matthew 20:25 says it this way. Jesus called on them, and He said, "Ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister or servant. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give His life a ransom for many." Let me give you a couple statements before we get to number one. The powers that be are put in place by God. Now, you know, we will say that, but let me read it. Romans 13:1 says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power," Romans 13, "there is no power but of God." That's a big statement there. "The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive for themselves damnation." Now, the powers that be are ordained of God. Now, you know, we talk about that, we think about that, you know, being this person up here and this person in office and this authority. But it was almost like, but yeah, but we can try to, we can climb up the ladder by ourselves. That's what they did. Nope. God allowed it. God will put us where we need to be. Now, I'm not saying we don't get an education. I'm not saying we don't serve. Listen, I find this, if you're faithful and little, God will make you ruler over much. But God's not going to make you ruler over much if you can't be faithful in a little. Well, so I'll start being faithful when he gives me something worth being faithful to. No. If you're not faithful in little things, he's not going to risk that with you with the big things. Colossians 1:16 says this, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist." He's the one that's making everything to work the way he wants it to work. Now, he's using it. He knows what the decisions we're going to make and so forth, but he's the one that raises up the powers. That means if he wants you in a place, he'll put you there. Getting kind of quiet in here. Now, the Lord is the one that keeps the powers in the position that they're in. In him all things consist. And God gives the power, for instance, to get wealth. Deuteronomy 8:17. "And thou sayest in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware unto thy fathers as it is this day." Listen, God sets up powers. God is the one to make sure you've got enough money in your pocket to pay the bills. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, all these things are added unto you. It's the Lord that sets kingdoms up and powers up, and the Lord who puts them down. Daniel 5:16 says this, "I have heard of thee that thou canst make interpretations and dissolve doubts. Now if thou canst read the writing and make known to me," remember the writing on the wall? Okay. "If thou canst read the writing and make known to me the interpretation, thou shalt be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about thy neck. And thou shalt be third ruler in the kingdom." So remember, it said they had the writing on the wall going on. They bring Daniel in and said, "If you can tell me what that says, man, I'll give you all kinds of things. I'll make you the third ruler. I'll put a chain around your neck. I'll make you a wealthy man, and I'll give you power and authority." This is what Daniel says. Daniel answered and said before the king, "Let thy gifts be to thyself. Give thy rewards to another. I will read the writing unto the king and make known to him the interpretation. O thou king, the most high God gave Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. And for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him. Whom he would, he slew, and whom he would, he kept alive, and whom he would, he set up, and whom he would, he put down." God decides who's in charge. And by the way, powers rose while Daniel was there, and powers fell while Daniel was there, and Daniel outlived them all. So whose power and authority do we want? God's, who's transcending, or man's that can be gone overnight? If you know that story, you know what I'm talking about. So we're talking about how to get to the top without biting and clawing. Simply put, letting God do the job, rather than trying to do it in the flesh. Let me give you number one. God will give you an opportunity to show what you and what you are made of, what you are and what you're made of. And by the way, when he shows somebody what you are and what you're made of, it's usually through the rough times. It's the hard times. We really don't see what we are. Listen, first for gold, the finding pot for silver, but God tries the heart. He turns up the heat and puts on the pressure. That shows us what we really are. Now think about it. It shows us. By the way, it shows others what we really are. Genesis 41. Go back to the beginning of Genesis 41. We'll walk through some of this passage tonight. Genesis 41, verse 1. says, it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river. And behold, there came up, this is his dream, came up by the river 7 well-favored kine, that's cows, fat-fleshed, and they fed in the meadow. And behold, 7 other kine came up after them out of the river, ill-favored, lean-fleshed, and took and stood by the other kine upon the brink of the river. And the ill-favored and lean-fleshed kine did eat up the 7 well-favored and the fat kine. So Pharaoh awoke, and he slept and dreamed the second time. Behold, 7 ears of corn came up, and 1 stalk, rank and good. And behold, 7 thin ears, and blasted with the east wind, sprung up after them. And the 7 thin ears devoured the 7 rank and full ears. And Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream. That's where we are. Letter B. The world cannot do what a man of God can do who has been set up to do it. Let me say that again. The world cannot do what a man of God can do. When I say a man of God, doesn't necessarily... Listen, Joseph wasn't the preacher. Joseph wasn't a priest. Joseph wasn't a prophet. Joseph was a little Hebrew boy that got sold into slavery. A man of God doesn't necessarily have to have reverend in the front of his name. This is a man of God who's known to be of God in heaven. The world cannot do what a man of God can do who has been set up to do it. Look at verse 8. And it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all the wise men thereof, and Pharaoh told them his dream, but there was none that could interpret them unto Pharaoh. Then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day. Pharaoh was wroth with his servants, and put me in ward in the captain of the guard's house, both me and the chief baker. And we dreamed a dream in one night, I and he, and we dreamed each man according to the interpretation of his dream. And there was with us a young man, an Hebrew servant, and the captain of the guard, and we told him, and he interpreted to us our dreams. To each man according to his dream he did interpret. And it came to pass, as he interpreted to us, so it was. Me he restored into mine office, and him he hanged. So Joseph could do what none of the wise men could do. Letter D. The timing of the Lord's opportunities is the Lord's choice. The timing of the Lord's opportunities is the Lord's choice. Joseph had been sitting there for an extra 2 years. We think, well, then nothing's going on. Finally, God decided to do something. Nope, God was waiting for the right time. If he had gotten out of jail too soon, he probably wouldn't have been in place. They couldn't have found him, and Pharaoh wouldn't have brought him up, and he would never have had a chance to tell Pharaoh the interpretation of the dream. Meantime, what was he doing? He was working for the captain of the guard. He was doing all right. God took care of him. Letter E. We need to wait patiently, and meanwhile, do right. Now, we've studied Joseph here for several times, so we're not going to get into all what he did. But the fact is, he just simply did right. God blessed him. Wait patiently, and meanwhile, do right. Listen, we're trying to get to the top. Wait patiently, and do right. What? Who's going to see that? God. And he's the one who sets up. He's the one who puts down. He's the one who ordains the power and puts them where they're supposed to be. No. That guy over there. Or the people voted me in. Now, God didn't want to get voted in. You tell me some of these presidents we've had, God wanted us to have? Yes and no. He never wanted us to have some of those presidents and what they do. But he did use them to show us what we are. Who we vote in office is a reflection of who we are. It was not a reflection of me, but it is a reflection of the nation as a whole, or whatever the state as a whole. So sometimes God says, okay, you got to see this. He wishes he wouldn't have to do that, but that's what it's going to take to get our attention. That's what he'll do. Psalm 37:1 says this. I don't think I gave it to you there. But Listen to what it says. I'll give you part of it. Psalm 37:1 says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green tree, green herb." Verse 3, what are you supposed to do? Trust the Lord, do good. "So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." It goes on to say, "Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and the judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in his way." Well, he's getting ahead of me. Look at that. He's getting ahead. And he did wrong. He's getting ahead. Listen, don't worry about that. Don't fret yourself because he prospers in his way. Because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger. Forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Don't you get in that mess with them. Don't be doing what they're doing. You say, what's wrong? But they're getting ahead. Don't you worry about that. God knows what you're doing and how you're doing it. "For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth." Just hang tight. We're on the winning side, guys. Do right. We're on the winning side. Letter F. What we do with the opportunities that the Lord gives us is our choice. What we do with the opportunities that that the Lord gives us is our choice. Do you realize the extra 2 years in that jail because he thought the butler forgot him was an opportunity? During that opportunity, he was faithful. He trusted the Lord. Said, "I don't understand it. Makes no sense. This is not the timing I want. But the Lord knows." And he was faithful. He did right. Trust in the Lord and do good. And the Lord brought him up at the right time. Hang on to that thought. Number two. How do we get to the top without biting and clawing? Number two. Joseph was humble. Humble. Verse 14. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph. And they brought him hastily out of the dungeon. And he shaved himself and changed his raiment and came unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, "I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it." And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, "It's not me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace." Now you think that when I say he is humble, it's because of verse 16. And that's partially true. To be honest with you, he's humble. Look at verse 14. Pharaoh said and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon. That means he was hastily, quick. Come on. We got to get out of here. Now, he was down in the dungeon. No deodorant. No bathrooms. No running water. You just kind of go over in the corner. I mean, it was a mess. But you know what he did? He said, "Well, I'm going to go meet Pharaoh." Now, you know what listen, you know what most of us would have done? We're sitting in there in that prison stewing. "I shouldn't be here. This isn't right. Somebody's going to pay for this. If I get out of here, I'll tell you what, I'm going to kill everybody I can get a hold of. Man, I'm going to let them have it. I can't believe they did this to me. I'm going to get them back." You know what he did? Going to meet Pharaoh. He cleaned up, put on fresh clothes, shaved to meet Pharaoh. And Pharaoh says, "I hear you can tell dreams." "No, it's not me. It's God." And see, we just read that by as if it was no big deal. Listen, it was a big deal. He's been sitting in the clink for years. He said, "All right." Well, Pharaoh could have pardoned him, got him out of there. but he hadn't. The butler could have told him what was going on, but he hadn't done it for all these years till now. You know what I think? The Bible says, be humble, do right, and the Lord will lift you up. 1 Peter 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, who ordains powers, that sets them up, puts them down. Humble yourself before the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. And watch. It says, exalt you in due time, colon. It means the thought's not fit. Well, what am I supposed to do until then? Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. What? I'm sitting here in jail. You're telling me God cares for me, and I'm sitting here in jail. In this muck, in the mire, in the stench, the disease. God cares about you. Be sober. He said, no, wait a minute. Don't get half-cocked. Don't go off. Don't become a crazy man here. Keep your mind clear. Be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. God, listen, if we're not careful, our own enemy, our own selfishness, our own sense of pride, I can't believe they did this to me. And the devil says, you shouldn't let them do it. Get them. He says, listen, wait a minute. Don't do anything stupid. He's trying to get you to do something stupid, so you're dead. He says, whom resist? Steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. God's doing this all over the place. You're not the only ones going through this. Why am I the only one to have this happening to? No, you're not. God's working through all. What happens if we do not humble ourselves? What happens if we do not humble ourselves? Well, Exodus 10 kind of gives us an example. Moses and Aaron came into Pharaoh, different Pharaoh, but Moses and Aaron came into Pharaoh and said unto him, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, how long wilt thou refuse to humble thyself before me? Let my people go, that they may serve me. So when Moses and Aaron went to the Pharaoh and said, we want to let him go, humble yourself before God. Pharaoh said, I'm not, who's the Lord that I should serve him? And we know what happened to Pharaoh. He lost everything, including his firstborn son. We decide we're going to do it our own way. We don't expect God to bless that. So God's people need to walk humbly. Humbly. Deuteronomy 8:1 says this, all the commandments which I command you this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna which thou knewest not. Neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. What's he saying? He wants you to know God is in control. And he'll set you up when he's ready to set you up. And we decide we're going to do what we want. Doesn't matter what God does, we're going to end up like Pharaoh. If we expect God, letter D, if we expect God to promote us, we need to be doing what he has called us to do. To trust in the Lord and do right. Malachi 6:8 says, he hath showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee? But to do justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with thy God. Well, you don't make it to the top doing that. Who's running the elevator? God's running the elevator. Listen, I've seen a lot of folks over the years who bite and claw and scratch and kick And it seems like they just work and work and work and work and work and work and work at it, and they never get ahead. It seems like they just can never get out of the muck and the mire. The more they strain, the deeper they in debt they get. Because Tennessee Ernie Ford, you load 16 ton, and what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. And that's the way some people's lives are, because they're trying to live it all by themselves. Fret not. Casting your care upon Him. Humble yourself in the mighty hand of God, and He shall lift you up in due time. Number three, we want to get it to the top without biting and clawing. Number three, Joseph gave God his proper glory. Joseph gave God his proper glory. Verse 16, and Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, "It is not me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace." That's really interesting there. An answer that will bring comfort and peace to your heart, even in the midst of some concerning and troubling times. He says, if you listen to me, he says, God will give you an answer of peace. Your trouble about these dreams, it does kind of weird here. We got the crummy cows eating the good cows and the crummy ears. All this stuff. And what in the world can that be? He says, it's going to be all right. You just let God do what He's supposed to do. God's giving you the answer. And He'll give you peace about it. Everything's all right in my Father's house. In my Father's house. In my Father's house. Everything's all right in my Father's house. Where there's joy, joy, joy. We can kind of live in the presence of our Father, almost like in our Father's house, even when the whole world is going bananas. There's a peace that God will give you that passes all understanding. When we're careful for nothing, but in all things by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, letting our requests be made known unto Him. And He'll give a peace that passes understanding. This isn't going to make sense. We've forgotten that God works. And I think the reason we've forgotten because so few people let God work. And we don't give a chance to work, so we haven't seen it recently. His word hasn't changed. Joseph did not look for it. Watch. Personal glory. Joseph could have made a big deal out of this. He didn't look for personal glory. Oh, Pharaoh. Okay. Had a dream, did you? Oh. Well, did you ever hear the term, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours? I think we could probably make a deal here, Pharaoh. I think we could make a deal. And I've been sitting in jail a long time. He didn't ask to get out of jail. You see that? He didn't ask to get paid. He had Pharaoh kind of what's the word I'm looking for? Over the barrel, there you go. He didn't say, you know what, I'm a pretty sharp guy. You ought to tell those other, would you go back and tell Potiphar? He might have been sitting in jail stewing for all these years or was sitting in jail because Potiphar put him in jail, falsely accused by his wife. Tell you the truth, would you just kind of get rid of Potiphar? I mean, I got it for you. I got it. I got you. We'll move on. Number four. Joseph was considered trustworthy enough to be confided in. You say, what's it? Watch. Joseph, I think, had a track record. We learned it to the point that he had been considered trustworthy enough to be given information that could have been used against Pharaoh. I mean, the fact is, you bring him into the Oval Office there, and he's telling him what's going on. And this little Jewish boy just got him out of the jail. I got a feeling that while they were going to go get Joseph, that the butler was saying, you know, Joseph's got to have been running the jail down there. In fact, I heard that he was running things at Potiphar's house when Potiphar's wife accused him. And I'll be honest with you, I've been around Joseph. I was around Joseph a good while there. I think he's all right guy. I don't know, but it was trustworthy enough. Pharaoh didn't know what the dream was, nor the significance of it, or what vulnerability was setting himself up for by revealing it to a foreign prisoner. Verse 17, Pharaoh said to Joseph, in my dream, behold, I stood. And it talks about all the dream. He lays it all out. I'm not going to spend time to read it. But he thought Joseph was trustworthy enough. Now see, he had opportunity. We think opportunity is getting a promotion. Opportunity may be getting a demotion and given the opportunity to prove what you are in your character, in your heart, and your soul. You learn more about a person when they've been wronged than when they have everything handed to them. What thank have ye if you are buffeted when you do wrong? But when you're buffeted and you've done right, that's acceptable with the Lord. Shows us who we are. A lot of people, they can be really kind until they don't get what they want. And all of a sudden they get sour. Sometimes they get mean. Sometimes they just dig their heels on. They're not moving. He was proven trustworthy. Number five. Joseph did not seek personal advantage. Joseph did not seek personal advantage. Well, how are you going to get ahead that way? Well, look what he did. He just served the Lord with his life, no matter where he was in life. Let me say that again. Listen to me. Joseph served the Lord with his life, no matter where he was in life. Now, we've talked his whole story here, but listen to me. Joseph could have told the Pharaoh that he could make him a deal. I'll give you a dream interpretation for my freedom. Maybe a house in Cairo Boulevard. You know what, Pharaoh? I think maybe I should have a portion of the kingdom. You know, he didn't ask for any of that. He served. Now remember, God ordains the powers that be and puts them in place. Verse 25, Joseph said unto Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one. And so he tells him all the things. Verse 28, this is the thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh. What God is about to do, he showeth unto Pharaoh. Behold, there come 7 years of great plenty throughout the land of Egypt, and there shall arise after them 7 years of famine. And all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine shall consume the land, and the plenty shall not be known in the land, by reason that the famine following, for it shall be very grievous. And for that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice. It is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. There he was. Gave it away. Gave away his service. Now I think sometimes we're going to see God's blessing on this side for serving him unselfishly. And I think there's going to be some folks, there's some things we're going to see on the other side. I've told you about Verdi Moore, a fellow by the name of Lonnie Moore's father. He was a preacher up in the hills of Kentucky, and kind of a church planner up there, kind of a itinerant preacher years and years. He never had a church more than 100, because there probably wasn't more than 100 people in the area. Everybody knows his son. Lonnie Moore sings all over the country. He's a pastor down in Nicholasville, I think, Kentucky. But no one knew Verity until, that's not many, until they found out he was Lonnie's father. But I tell you, I remember, he had retired. And I remember, I told you this, we were down at the National Sword Conference, and Dr. Smith had Brother Verity Moore come up and pray before the service. Very humble man, never put himself ahead. But he started praying. So help me, I think God said, "Shh, Verity's talking. What you need, son?" Heaven opened. He wasn't going, "Oh God," he wasn't doing any of that stuff. He was talking to a friend, and God was listening. You could almost hear the angels' choir sing. We hadn't had the first message, and I was ready to go to the altar. I'm not one to run to the altar all the time. I'm really not. There's nothing wrong with that. I've just never have been. But I'll tell you what, we got finished praying. I wanted to go to the altar. It's almost Isaiah 6. I saw him high and lifted up. His train filled the temple. And I said, "Woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips." I think, it sounds funny, and I'm not trying to be all sentimental or anything here, but I think when Verity's called to the bema seat of Christ, I think Jesus is going to stand up. Say, "Well done, that good and faithful servant." He reached the pinnacle where he needed to be. And God will exalt him in due time. Letter C. Joseph did not make merchandise of the spiritual gifts the Lord had given him. He did not make merchandise of the spiritual gifts that he had been given. You know what? At that point in time, he could have got endorsement from Pharaoh and set up a shop out there on Cairo Street and said, "Dreams interpreted. $100 a piece." He could have said, "I'll do this for you, Pharaoh, but I tell you what we need to do." 2 Peter 2 says this, "But there were false prophets also among the people, as there will be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, deliver them into the chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment." He goes on and talks about Lot and all these kind of things. "Well, I have a special gift. God will be pretty lucky that he's got me." He didn't do that. He humbly served, not trying to take advantage. Number 6, coming down the end here. Joseph was not pushy and full of self. You know, I think some people think they'll get where they need to be. And by the way, there's a lot of politicking goes on in religion too. Name dropping. I sang a duet with Lee Robertson one time. You know who Lee Robertson was? Aren't you impressed? Yeah. When I was out of Hal Anderson, One night after the evening service, they announced my name to meet Dr. Hiles in his office after the service. Yeah. I was heading that way, and all the guys in college said, "What are you doing? What's going on? You're going to see him? You're going to see him?" Remember when I was a kid, young, we were just married, and went down to the first National Sword Conference. It was Bob Jones University, 1987, and big sword conference, and they had Al Smith leading the singing, and Rudy Atwood playing the piano. And I remember, of course, some of you young folks don't have any idea who I'm talking about, but that's okay. But that was a big deal. And we were driving home, and my son, Sterl, I guess he was 1 year old, so he probably wasn't even with us. Did we take him that first year? I feel like we did. We took him down there with us. And we were just a young family, and we were going back, and I'm saying, "Man, can you imagine what it would be like to lead singing for the National Sword Conference?" And we laughed. Now, this is coming in the 24th year that I've been leading the singing in the National Sword Conference. Now, we could start dropping. See, I'm doing that here. The fact is, that could be over like that. Like that. God uses us where He wants us. He puts us where He wants us to be when He wants us to be there. Sometimes we want to get pushy. Look at letter A. Joseph was not trying to gain a promotion, position, and power, or the upper hand. He just served. Letter B, Joseph left the decision in the hands of the God-ordained authority. Pharaoh, the powers that be are ordained of God. And in so doing, Joseph was allowing God, who judges righteously, to decide. Listen, Pharaoh is just God's tool and a power that is ordained by God. Verse 33, now therefore let Pharaoh, he says to Pharaoh, look out a man discreet and wise and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this and let him appoint officers over the land and take up the fifth of the land of Egypt in the seven plenteous years, and let them gather all the food of those good years and come and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh and let them keep food in the cities and that the food shall be stored for the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the famine. And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And you know what we would have done? Ah, this is my ticket out of prison. Well, I'll tell you what, Pharaoh, I'll take care of that for you. No, he just says, find a good man. Number 7, God put Joseph where God wanted him to be without Joseph manipulating and campaigning or politicking. I've seen too many guys take churches. Pastor, come take church. And they kind of don't ask certain questions. They kind of slide around this and not really talk about this because they want a position as a pastor. And so they just kind of conveniently forget to ask about this and forget to ask about that, and they get voted in as a pastor, and then they get in there as with the church, and they find out, oh my soul, what is this? And they thought, well, you know, they'll just love me. Now, if you're going a different direction, you're going to be bumping into them. I'm serious. I've seen way too many preachers do that, and they wonder what happened. If God wants you to have the church, He'll make sure you get it. To be honest with you, when I came up here, we came up here for the picnic that Saturday before I preached again. It was several weeks I just preached. And I told Janet, I'm going up there to talk them out of me. Because there were several things I'm thinking, well, they're not going to want to do that. I'm talking about when I came up here first time to talk to the pulpit committee. I said, well, they're not going to want to do that. Well, they're probably not going to want to do that. These are all deal breakers. Well, didn't you want to get a church? Yeah, I did. I felt like I was supposed to. But I don't want the wrong church. I went to the church that God placed me in. And if I know God placed me there, then everything that happens, even if it's good or bad, makes no difference, because he knew it was going to happen when he called me here, and he knows the way out the other side. And I remember just one thing after another. All what I thought was going to be opposition, just literally dropped right in front of me. I said, okay. And I think it was Merle, if I remember right. He said, well, we've been praying, the Lord will send us the right guy. And I think he's sitting right here with us. Now, I felt that, but I wasn't going to push my way in the door. Too often we push doors open, and we wish we would have kept it shut. Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God has showed thee all this, there's none so discreet and wise as thou art. And we go back to that Psalm 37, fret not. Trust the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also, Lord, and shall give the desires of your heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, and he shall bring it to pass. Let it be, Joseph was promoted by God. That's how you want to get to the top. God putting you there. But he's going to put you there when you've been proven and found blameless, when you're doing what you're right, when you're doing right, doing what you're supposed to do. Verse 4, thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only the throne will be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. All that Joseph did was to trust God and do right. Number 2, Joseph was given great authority. Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand. The ring that had the seal of Pharaoh. You put that ring on that stamp, it says it's from Pharaoh. It's like him handing him the checkbook. Whatever you want. Joseph was given great possessions. He was arrayed in vestures of fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck. Number 4, Joseph was given great honors. Made him to ride in the second chariot which he had, and they cried before him, bow the knee. How did he get to the top? 1 Peter 3. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. Be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Finally, number 8. What's the word? 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Or we could do hymn number 325. I've been using the same hymn book for so long, I know where it is. When we walk with the Lord, in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Psalm 37:22 says this. 37:22. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he may fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. For the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I've been young, and now I'm old. And yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore. in the back of your paper. Did I give you the summary? All right, real quick, here we go. How to get ahead without biting and clawing. A, do not push yourself ahead. Don't be promoting yourself like you're some great guy. Letter B, trust the Lord's perfect timing. Trust the Lord's perfect timing. Letter C, stay humble before God and man. Stay humble. Letter D, continue to do right and serve others. They're always going to think I'm a servant. Stay a servant. God knows who you are. Letter E, do not contrive. C-O-N-T-R-I-V-E. Contrive or conspire to get ahead. Letter F, don't fight your way up. G, do not seek to push others down. Well, how else am I going to look like I'm the best choice? Have we forgotten that God knows your heart? And if you're the best choice, He knows it. And if you're pushing others down, you're not the best choice. Letter H, don't look for personal recognition. Don't look for personal recognition. Do not seek, letter I, do not seek personal advantage. Ah, here we go. Here's a way to, I think I can pad my pockets, or I think I can take another step up the rung. I'll stand on this guy's head, and I can reach the next rung up here. J, fret not. Fret not. K, wait on the Lord. And letter L, leave your life in the hands of Him who judges righteously. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Commit thy work unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Commit your way unto the Lord, and He shall bring it to pass. Oh, look what time it is. How to get to the top without biting and clawing. Do right and put yourself in the hands of Him who judges righteously. By the way, you might not want to be at the top. We're not all designed to be at the top. I am so glad I'm not the President of the United States. I love Dr. Chappell. But God has not gifted me at this point in any way to be able to run the ministry that He runs. I don't want all that stuff that He's got going on there. On the other hand, if He's over there, who's going to be with these people? Right? And these souls are worth just as much as any other soul in all the world. God knows. What we want to hear is, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Father, thank You for speaking to us here this evening. And Lord, I know we went a little long, but this is something we need to understand. Trust and do right. Joseph did that all the way through. And he became exactly what You wanted him to be, at the time You wanted him to be, in the place You wanted him to be, so that he was prepared to do the work that You needed him to do. Didn't make sense how he got there. In our eyes, for Your ways are higher than our ways and Your thoughts than ours. And You had him right in the place in the tada nick of time to do what needed to be done so Your grand plan could come to fruition. Heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Lord spoken to you.